Nil-nil stalemate in Oriel Park. I've got the two most follically challenged pundits coming on to the podcast tonight. Lads, I just reading through tweets here just before I come on. We're just a couple of minutes late, but a lot of people almost disappointed that we dropped 2 points. I don't think I'd read it like that personally myself. I think, you know, to take the lead leaders Oriel Park, you know, Duffer's sleeping giant, as we call them, you know, and to, you know, probably on paper, not on paper, on what we've looked back on facts, probably be the better team overall. But I don't think, you know, I think a draw in Oriel Park ahead of Monday is a decent return on a Friday night. Don, you were at the match. What do you think?
I get that people would have been a bit disappointed didn't take all 3 points, but having said that, there's a little bit of like not having too many clear cut chances. Like we had shots on target and we created good situations in and around the box, but I think we were just probably lacking a little bit of, as we have been really all season, just lacking a little bit of either creativity or just a bit of cuteness in the box to create the chances, not so much to take the chances, but create the chances. But we kept, like, top of the table team kept them, I think, to, was it one shot on target with a few minutes to go? Shelby made a brilliant save. But other than that, like, we, not to say we made them look ordinary, but they definitely didn't look better than us. And that's supposedly, well, it is best, statistically the best team in the league at the minute. So we were every bit as good as them. And I think it's probably just the momentum would have really, really picked up if they had gotten a win tonight going into Monday. Like, they're already in a spot where we can get off the bottom of the table on Monday, but we could have, it could have been a better place to be going into Monday rather than where we are tonight.
Yeah, as Donald says, Steph, I think, you know, obviously, look, we've obviously devoid defeat for the second time in a row on the Noel King, and even in the first half, you can tell that this seems to be a, whatever coaching that they're doing or whatever wasn't happening, I think he said this last week, whatever wasn't happening before in the Stephen O'Donnell era, we seem to be definitely a more pressing team up the pitch. And, you know, against a Shelbourne team that, you know, as Damien Duff, I think, had said last season, maybe the start of this season, on their day are the best midfield in the league. I take that fast and loose, but I mean, you know, they are top of the table at the end of the day. But is it something, you know, ahead of Monday, you know, a game like that in Oriel Park, is it something that the lads would have been looking for? Maybe just keep it simple, keep a clean sheet if we can, because a clean sheet will bring you a draw at the end of the day, minimum. Or could they have maybe, you know, could we have maybe snatched it? You know, especially in the first half when we had maybe more of the ball and we were probably slightly the better team, you know, probably a better team overall, but in the first half in particular, are we maybe a few chances maybe gone awry?
Yeah, look, it's probably, well, depends what way you look at it.
Yeah.
Certain people will look at it and say, like Donald said, 2 points dropped. Others will look and say it's a good draw. It all just depends what way you look at it. But just like from my thinking, I'd say they just rolled on from the good result against Bowes.
Yeah.
Everything was positive. Like, I don't think you could have picked a fault in anything. Last week, like we sort of dropped off and they, you know, built up a bit of pressure on us last week, but that was always going to happen at some stage in the game. But yeah, look, I think we sort of said it over and over again this year, just the final third of the pitch where, you know, even if we do get good balls into the box, then the shots on target are like tame efforts or wild shots over the bar. So I don't know if it's falling to the wrong people or not, but like there is, like Gullen has 2 shots on target, but when you look, they're straight down the throat of Conor Cairns, and like, I think he's probably grew to be one of the best shot stoppers in the league. I think that's probably fair enough to say. And look, I think I said before at the start of the season, I think Shells would have been in a lot of games that might finish 0-0 or 1-0. They don't really seem to give a lot away. A lot of the game plan seems to be get the ball to, I think it's Ledwich and Paddy Barrett, and then they just look to boom diagonal balls into the wingers. And look, the thing.
Oh, look at this fella. I tell you, he just got into it there. He just got into the tactics, and he pulls it out, Chris, on the M1 there. And he's only over the road from me. And he can't play the Wi-Fi. He's only a mile over the road from me. The rock. He's a chance. But don't look, like, I'm just going to pick up with Sean on what Sean Newbury said there, and it was something that I'd written here in the notes as well. Like, we are definitely looking very solid at the back. I mean, it's not that we, I suppose at the start, it's not that we didn't look okay at the back. Most of all, I think most of our pizza play probably went out for centre backs or full backs at the start of the year. But again, you know, as solid as we look at the back, and I suppose that's your building blocks are, like, I think it, like, you know, building the sensibility, like Mark Carroll has said, you need to start from the back. If you can't keep clean sheets, you're not going to pick up any points. But are we still, you know, is the glaring obvious problem up top, or Gullen's getting there maybe halves now? Like, I think Gullen had a half chance tonight, picked out of the air, and then very close either side of that, you know, a great cross from Mountney again. I think it was the second of the night. Again, it's Daryl Hogan that it's fallen on his head, which is not really where you don't really want the Daryl Hogan there. Not that Gullen's an absolute giant up top either, but it's just fallen to the wrong people, like Steph had said, maybe the wrong people at the end of the crosses. But it's just something, I don't know whether they can look to it in July, but is it something, you know, we've seen Owen Kenny maybe come on really late in the game again, but is it something that, you know, that might become a bit of an issue, you know, even though the foundations are right now, we're strong at the back. You know, we've only made one change tonight. Austin Briggs come on, although he's gone off injured later in the game. You know, ironically, he's come in for an injured Dara Keane as well. But we're getting that bit right. If we just get that finishing bit up front, just get that little bit of consistency going, you know, we're going to pick a couple of points, I think, along the way.
Yeah, well, like, if you think back to, you know, to Steve O'Donnell's first season, it was built on not conceding goals. Like, we were very good in defence for, say, the first half of that season anyway. And back. But we had a conversation in the stand that, like, man of the match was given to Zach Bradshaw, I think. No, Zach Johnson. I could have been either of the Zachs. Like, everybody in the back four was great tonight. And it's all we could do. Like, we it's going to be tough to break teams down. It's tough for a lot of teams in the league to break solid defenses down. So it's going to be tough for each team, but all we can do is make sure that we're still in a game. And we've been doing that the last 5-6 games. I get, like, again, like the exception of the Derry game, like, they've defensively been pretty decent now for the last little while. And like the goalkeeper as well, like I mentioned, the keeper making the save. I think he's made a couple of brilliant saves the last few weeks that have kept clean sheets. After getting a bit of having a rough start, like this Sligo game was, first Sligo game was a rough one for him. So it all just ties together. Like, you have two centre backs that are playing well, two full backs that are playing well. Obviously, having the cover of John Mountney in front of Archie helps, but Daryl Horgan does a fair amount of cover on the other side. So it's just, it's a team effort. So the problem is going to be creating chances and scoring goals. But that, I don't think that's exclusively going to be our problem of the teams that are around us. I think everyone's going to struggle for goals, and you get goals wherever you can. It's the Daryl Horgan chance, I think, was the one where you thought if somebody else was on that, if Gullen had been on that, or even if, and it came from John Mountney, if it had been the other way around and it was John Mountney getting his head in it rather than Daryl, you would have fancied him to score. And it is just that thing of they do seem to be falling to the wrong people at times. So I think we're going to keep struggling. But when you are struggling for goals, the best thing you can do is just to not give any away. And the entire team is working extremely hard to do that. So we're not in a great spot going forward, but at least we're in a much better position defensively than we have been. So we're giving ourselves chances to win games at least.
Steph, obviously as an ex fullback and world-class Irish version of Cafu, you know, keeping clean sheets, that's your basis. I mean, that's, you know, it probably goes without saying at that level, but, you know, although we're talking about the striking and the lack of options that we have, not lack of options, lack of kind of consistency, maybe we have options, it's just not, you know, they're just not gelling at the minute. But, you know, I suppose, again, we've come away from Oriel Park, a clean sheet. The lads, like Donal had said, and you've said just before, you were pretending you were cut off there, you went for a cup of tea. You know, we're very solid at the back now. We seem to have a team, like, I think somebody had said, I can't remember, Sean Newry, like, you know, we've been playing together for years, or, you know, that's the key to it. If we can keep that kind of consistency, right? And it's not like we were shipping, you know, 5 goals a game, although we have done it once or twice. You know, we did it, we've seen performances, just, you know, I said it to Donal a couple of minutes ago, we've given away probably more pizzas this year, man of the match, for defenders than anybody else. So we have that in our locker, but, you know, we're really going to, you know, as we've seen in the first half, although we had plenty of the ball, the Daryl Hogan chance, the half chance for Gullen, great cross from Mountney, but again, nothing at the end of it. And although Shells probably would feel it have had an off night, we weren't there to take advantage of it, in particular in the first half, when I thought we had more of the ball. And I think that up front option in the final third is just going to be a bit of a weakness probably up until, dare I say, we might get someone in the transfer window. I don't know. There are some names being thrown out here at the minute, but, you know, just as a defender, you know, you got to be delighted with how they're playing at the back, I suppose.
Yeah, you pride yourself on clean sheets, and I think it's no coincidence that you have got the consistency there.
Yeah.
Like, many times have we spoken about players, like, getting used to each other, how to play, building up that relationship. And I think it was, like, since Bradshaw moved into left full, we just look transformed. We look very solid. Johnson's been excellent. Anytime I've watched him, he looks so calm and assured. His 1v1s, I don't think he's got beaten in one of them. Even when Boyd looked like, at the end, he got round the other side of him, he was just too strong for him and quick for him, and he beats him to the ball. Archie Davis has probably, over the last two seasons, has been our best player. I think when they tried to play him right wing, it just sort of didn't work. But look, they've switched it pretty quick when they realised that, like, Mountney can play ahead of him, and it's a lot more effective in that sense. So yeah, look, the consistency, and obviously the keeper's not probably had a lot to do, but when you need him to pull off that save at the end from Boyd, it's a great hand to push it right away. There was even one, the ball came back to him, I think it was the last 10, 15 minutes, and it was absolutely smashed at him. And he just cushioned the little pass into Boyle, and then he plays it out to Davies, and we're out again. So, like, you know, he's quite assured, and look, maybe that Sligo game was a once-off freak, and maybe his confidence just spiraled out from that, but we want to forget that night well. But yeah, look, the consistency is definitely the key for me, building up relationships at the back. Just one point, and I hate to go back to it again, but the pitch looks horrible to play on. Like, you see people trying to dribble out with the ball, and they can't be that bad of dribblers that the ball's bobbling as they're running forward at the ball, or even someone trying to zip a pass. It's just, you know, that can't help with the quality of, you know, finishing as well. Like, not many goals been scored in Oriel. Every time I'm up there, it's nearly a 0-0 or a 1-0, or the match I said I wouldn't talk about. But yeah, like, even when you see crosses coming into the box, like, players are probably having to adjust the whole time to get themselves set, to get a good connection on the ball. And although they're training on it week in, week out, then they play every second match on it, and it's different at match pace, I suppose. So yeah, look, I think just with your point, I think consistency is definitely a big thing. And the more they play with each other, they're probably, the more confidence they're getting. The clean sheets are obviously going to build that up massively as well.
Just on the likes of, you know, the likes of the pitch, I suppose. We do talk about the pitch, and I don't want to take away from the game either, you know, because it is a good point against the league leaders. But, you know, we look at the Gullen chance. You look at, like, what Mark said there, you know, Benson, you know, as a midfielder, even, you know, take control of the ball. If a ball bobbles or bounces or zipping along on an AstroTurf, there's no giving it. You know, if it's a bad AstroTurf, it's probably running a little bit long. And just, if you can't take that first touch, it's probably more credit to them that they can play against a team like Shelburne, who are probably playing on grass. Talca Park, albeit on TV, I haven't seen it up close in about, don't think I've been to Talca Park since the FA Cup final in 2002. But it's, you know, it's a good surface, you know, like, so, you know, I suppose we're probably, are we doing a disservice to the players? But, you know, like you said, there's a flip coin to that. Well, they're training it all the time, so, you know, they should really know what they're at, you know, when it comes to the ball. But it's something that we never really took into, you know, Frank had said their fortress Oriel is coming back, but it's something we never really probably mentioned this season, that although Chris, who's coming in now online, he sent a great photo of the pitch today, and it looked almost like grass the way he had the photo. But if you're saying now, it's, you know, it looked, I mean, even towards the camera side, the shed side, it looked really worn. And they've obviously added the whatever they've added onto it, the sand or whatever you want to call it, I don't know what the name is. But, you know, if it's, if that's a problem going forward, would it put players, potential players, and I don't want to get away from the game tonight, but I'm always worried about players that won't sign because of that. Like, if you're playing now, Steph, you know, if you're playing, would you know, what would you be thinking as a fullback trying to, you know, hunt down a winger coming towards on a surface like that with a ball? What's, you know, like, would it play in your mind?
It probably lends more to defensive players than attackers, because attackers are trying to dribble past or like cross a ball. Like, you have to get a good connection to get a cross or get a strike off. So, probably lends more to that than like the attacker in that sense. But yeah, the Sligo hybrid pitch model is crazy. Maybe we should just dig up lumps of grass and just stick them in the pitch.
I
don't want to get sidetracked on the Sligo thing, but yeah, it's surely they could dig up a lump of grass. If it's there that long, go and get a bit of grass and put it in. I don't understand why it's that kind of rug shape, but look, that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with.
About. Just say the thing on the pitch the bounce of the ball on the pitch reduces a 50-50 to like a 30-32 or a 33-33-33, because you just don't know. The pitch might win the ball bobbling between a couple of people. Like, nobody knows where they're supposed to go. So it's not the easiest surface to play on. But I would say the thing about Talca is that the top pitch when we played there was absolutely awful. And it was awful when we were watching the Rovers game as well. It was like covered in sand and stuff. So the only thing is we all want the grass pitch and stuff, but it's still going to be tough to maintain a grass pitch once we get it. And I think like we all sort of assume that we'll have a grass pitch that will run smooth and will be looked after properly and won't be affected by Irish weather. It won't be absolutely trounced by rain up until May, and we'll end up with the situation that you're in with the project and have like a pitch that's unusable for months because of the weather. And it's like, I know the pitch is bad, and it's just one of those things where like we could end up with a really, 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 really bad grass pitch, which is probably still better than a really bad version of what we have. But
in fairness, though, we probably just close the roof in the winter.
I wonder, could we get the opposite of Sligo, bring in a peel little bit of grass somewhere and around the Astrotop? Maybe that's an option to do. Go to Haggerston Gardens, I thought. We'll bring in Christopher. Are we ready to go there? We'll bring him in live from the square. He just passed through the square.
No, it was too big of a queue.
We're just talking about the pitch now. Obviously, we're getting sidetracked by the game, but just it was your photo that actually sparked. I was thinking of, look at Steph jumping out again, pretending his wife
is gone. As soon as Chris comes in, he's gone.
You know,
put the fear factor into
it. Did it look as bad on camera as it did, you know, as what we've seen? Did it sound as bad? Like, you know, what was the give on it? Like, because it looked really well in the photo you'd sent. And it was only when the game started. Now, I don't want to try to detract from what we're talking about the game, but it's just something that it's only going to be a problem as we go on.
Yeah, look, it's a problem that we know we have to get solved. It's one of the big issues, a bit like the floodlights. I think the floodlights probably don't help that pitch either. The less and less bulbs we get as we go along, it's probably making it darker. But yeah, look, there's a ton of rubber on it. Once they put the sprinklers on and that, and the warm-ups, it tends to kick up a lot of the rubber as well. So I think it probably makes it look a little worse. I took the picture before anyone had got on the pitch. It had just been brushed at that stage. So it probably looked the best that it can do. But look, I think, you know, Brian Ainscough talked about this on his night in front of the fans. And he said the two impending issues that we need to sort straight away are the floodlights and the pitch. And they have to be done at the end of this year because they're not going to pass any more tests. So it's going to be done. Unfortunately, it's going to be another 3G pitch. We know that. But I, you know, you'd hope that, you know, that whatever type of pitch to use has to be 10 times better than what's currently down there, because I don't think the bounce there tonight probably doesn't help either team too much tonight. And look, it doesn't look great on camera then either, I suppose, unless I'm taking a photograph.
This is it on your 3G enabled. 5G pal, all the way. So obviously we're only 22 minutes into the podcast here. We don't want
to talk about the pitch.
Obviously we're at the game, but we were our main kind of on the chances that Dundalk had, early chances, and you know, should we have done better maybe in the first half? Should we take advantage of Shelburne? Probably,
yeah,
maybe not being at their best, but at the end of the day, like we were saying to Donal and Steph, they are top of the league and they're there for a reason. Could we have got at them early in second? I think we've been very solid at the back again, yet again, but
yeah,
again, we're lacking up top. You know, little crosses from Mountney falling to Daryl Hogan for a header. It's not ideal. You know, you kind of like Donal had made, you know, if it's the other way around, maybe if Hogan's into Mountney and things like that, little things they could work on. But, you know, I think at the back, you know, the crux of it all is we're very solid at the back again. The lads have been excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I think somebody commented early on that, you know, it looks like we've been playing for years. But just from your own perspective, as you're watching the match.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, we had to interview both managers at the end. Damien Duff thought that it was a pretty even match. They had three shots with one on target at the very end, so I'm not too sure about that. I think the majority of chances came for us tonight. I think in particular in the first half, I thought we were really good. Probably, I think the chances may be a little rushed at times or something. We're just trying to get the shots off as quick as we can. Gullum with two good chances, Oosterbrink at the very start. And as you say, and then Daryl's header as well. So, look, we've had the majority of the chances. I think, I know Gullum's two was on target, but probably Robbie Benson's drive in the second half. I think Conor Cairns was sweating on that one a bit. If it had any bend on it at all, I'm not too sure he would have got to it. There's a fair bit of venom behind it. And then I felt that Shells were just a very compact team. So they're just happy to have it at the back. They'll just knock it around, try to an angled ball out to the wing from time to time. But with regards penetration, I thought they lacked a lot of that tonight. And it was a bit of a roll of the dice sort of a moment. Bring Sean Boyd on and create a little bit of chaos back there. And look, it nearly worked, I suppose you could say that. But I think we were the better team tonight, most definitely. But I feel that both teams probably could be there for another hour and not score, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, it definitely did seem like, I don't know how many nights we sat here on top of God, we played till midnight, but, you know, I think one of the main issues, like, we seem to be, I don't know if it's just something maybe with the lads have come in so far. So we've got obviously Noel King, we've got the two boys in the last two games. We definitely were pressing them higher up the field. We definitely are going at them, you know, early doors, whereas we're not sitting back as much. We're not letting people play onto us, but we just don't seem to have, you know, and we look, and in fairness, we kept Shelburne quiet. I mean, Shelburne are, you know, a very...
I didn't think they were great tonight.
No, well, I don't buy the argument that, you know, it was an even match.
No.
Look, I don't know what possession stats were like. I would expect us to have more.
They were nearly 50-50, actually.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's not like we've battered them off the pitch, but I definitely think of what we've done over the last couple of weeks, you know, it's just great to see us pressing them high up the field, going at them from the start. Yes, we've had one or two chances. Steph had mentioned the pitch bobbling, you know, it's probably, I think Frank had mentioned there's no kind of bounce on it, or there's no kind of giving it at all. It's just bouncing all the time, you know, rock hard. But, you know, we're definitely showing something that going into Monday now, you know, with that draw, although it's not, we haven't picked up our win, it's definitely that momentum that we want. The next two games now, I think we should be looking to turn these two teams over. Definitely, you know, definitely go at them, because we're playing in a way that we've been wanting to see in Oriel Park for such a long time.
Yeah, look, and I think with Drogheda losing as well, don't let you in here, but like with Drogheda losing, like we've gained a point on them tonight here as well. And that's your thing. And also I was thinking, like, there it was before the match tonight, and I'm reading this big build up all around Gullen in the match programme from Donal. I thought, this is it. This is made it for him. He's gonna have a cracking night tonight. And then when he missed the two big chances, I went, "Oh, there's a, you know, we're gonna have to do an editor's reply."
On this. I had the program in my hand for each of the shots, ready to be like, "Ah!" I'm throwing up in the air, but I did what I could. Well, I was just the bit about, we were talking about Shells there. I just wanted to say, like, it is amazing to have somebody of Duffer's stature in the league. And like, to just look down at the touchline and be like, that's Damien Duff managing this team. We should also not put microphones in front of him because the man just talks bullshit all the time. So him saying his team that it was him saying his team were you know
even today
50-50, he's gonna just say stupid shit because he's Damien Duff. But I did think they were disappointing. They were disappointing watch. I thought so. We were saying about like pressing, like there was a couple of times in the first half that we pressed aggressively and got bypassed by one ball. And I thought we were in trouble a couple of times, but it never came to anything. And maybe aside from that, like they played a lot of long diagonals. John Martin reminded me of what we thought of John Martin when he was playing up front for us last
year. Yeah, I thought the same, yeah.
That you were like, oh yeah, that's like, and I know we were all upset when he left and because we were losing so many players and this, but it was a bit of a reminder, like, yeah, if he was playing up front, I don't think it would be any different than it is for us now. Like he wasn't going to change it, but I was a little disappointed in how they played, but then I haven't seen them really play very well at all this year. I'm trying not to say something stupid like Duffer would say if there was a microphone in front of me, but I'm veering towards it.
Duffer probably just chicken filler rules.
I think Shell's only really came to life whenever, ironically, Shane Farrell came on the pitch.
Shane Farrell and Sean Boyd kind of changed it. Yeah. They kind of went very direct through those two.
Filler rules, lads. It's the way to go.
Farrell seemed to be the outball. Like, obviously, he had his breakfast roll this morning, so he just didn't wait until lunchtime to have the chicken fillet. So he looked lively, and he's good quality on the ball. Every time I see him, like he's always lively, and he has that touch of quality about him. But obviously, look, there's external factors like the delis around Ireland. That's obviously halting his progress or breaking into first teams. But yeah, like. There was a play that he's like picked up the ball and he's played two lovely balls in. I think one of them might actually be for the Boyd effort.
It was, it's him played him in,
And I was just thinking, you know, like he's danger here. You just don't want to give them another chance because they might just end up sticking it away. But just be interesting to see what everyone else thinks about it. But looking across the five games tonight, there's only been four goals. And like, does that lend to the theory that, like, I know they're top against bottom and you have mitigating circumstances to why each team are there, but does that lend to the theory that the quality of the league has not dipped, but I'd say drastically dropped? Because for me, I feel it has, like, there has been, you know, players of international quality playing over the last decade in the league, and you'd see no reason why they should step into an Irish squad. But you're sort of looking around the league now saying, you know, could you really justify anybody stepping up to the senior squad, like as a yardstick,
probably not.
You think of your Jamie McGraths and or Jacks.
Yeah,
but Jack, do you know that? Like that's like, and you know he's still in the league, but whatever he has going on at the minute.
TikTok will load something.
Sorry,
is that worrying about Gullen just there from Frank? So Frank's just put in there saying that he could be out for the dogs match.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, people will say, oh, he's not scoring. It's not for the lack of effort. I mean, he's still a hell of a footballer. He runs all day for you. It's so, you know, you don't want to really... he's the number one forward at this club at the minute. But, you know, like David English has said as well, you know, it's an opening for someone else. You know, look, you don't wish injury on anybody. But it is, look, it's a chance for O'Kenny. O'Kenny came on, was it even in the 80-something minute? Was it 90?
I think it might have been bang on 90 now.
Obviously, it's a week we haven't done the subs again. Yeah, you know, it's... Could you stick him in then? Loud derby? Look, I don't see why not. I mean, if that's... And look, you've also got... And Frank's right, you have an option there for O'Kane. Maybe Daryl Horgan through the middle. You don't know, but...
Well, there's going to have to be changes for the
for
the draw of the match, for the simple reason that Zach Bradshaw is now suspended.
Yeah, that's it. So they won't have to run them anyway. Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see if they make subs then, because they don't. You know, two games in there, we've made late subs. There. We made three, four.
We made
two games. Was there many subs today? Was there two subs tonight?
There was definitely two.
Those three hidden Muller came on as well.
Three hidden Muller.
Muller came on for Oosterbrink, who got injured. Then Scott High went off.
So Mark Pete's out and wherever he is there. Out in
I think Oskilo, one of the substitutions. So when John Mountley went off, and Sam Durant came on, it really highlighted the lack of physicality. So when we were playing long balls out from the back, they were aimed at John Mountley on the right hand side primarily. So when he wasn't there, and Sam Durant came on, we were moving Jamie Gullen out to the right hand side to go and challenge for the kickouts, and it looked like our front three were pretty lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
When you're bringing your centre forward to the right hand side to try and win a header, that he wasn't great at winning. And I think if Jamie is injured for Monday, I'd imagine if Cammy Elliott's fit, he's going to start just for the physicality, because... Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, though? I never even thought of Cammy Elliott.
If they don't want to play out from the back, which I don't know if anybody wants to play out from the back, I think... I think that might make the decision if Jamie can't go on Monday.
I thought it was interesting, though, because all of Shelby's kicks, like you say, went... The same side as for Mountney, so like for a header from Mountney every single time. And then when Sam Durant came on from Shelby, knocked two goal kicks that way, and I could see like the whole team kind of looking up, you can't really do that anymore, mate. He's like half the size. But I was like, nah, like we definitely did not bring Sam Durant on the challenge for headers on the right side. Like, so I think we're probably gonna like. I think it's safe to say that the kind of Mountney Davis on the right hand side is probably working for us. It's given us some sort of an avenue. I think Mountney was fairly industrial again today. A couple of, you know, he likes to kind of get in the mix of it a bit. And I like that part about him as well. But, you know, he's plenty vocal as well on the pitch. And I think he's really taken on that captain's mantle. You know, that we all kind of questioned at the start, but I think when you see him probably playing further up, and I didn't think I'd be saying that, you know, I think we all kind of thought John Mountney's back and he's the right back now, you know, that's how it is for him. But now he's definitely got something in him still further up for us to work from. So I think, I think the left side is probably going to be the left and up front is the real questions now for the Drogs match. But
We smaller might actually pitch. Have to put John Mountney left back.
Could do.
So yeah, it's going to be a bit of rearranging, but I think I actually thought the same thing.
I didn't think Hayden Muller was going to play at the six before either. Has Hayden Muller played every single position for us now?
John O'Shea.
We just need the keeper to get sent off someday and stick him in the oversized goalkeeper jersey for 10 minutes at the end of the match, and then. Have completed it all.
Well, lads, I was trying to go in there. I think I'm going to sound like Dean Arrowsmith here. God rest him. God love him over there. And it's I'm going to have to go and leave early. I'm going to put my name into the hat.
Breaking news.
For playing up front. I have to go to Kilkenny in the morning, play for Team Ireland transplant team. So if I score enough tomorrow, I might get on. I might get a game on Monday evening. But lads, look. I'll see you later. I hope I don't log out of this. I'm going to just remove myself. If I close the whole show down, you'll all be finished after 36 minutes. So we'll see you on Monday, folks. Good luck.
No problem. Best of luck, Gally, and best of luck.
Cut himself off before he finished.
Yeah. He was just dying to get out of there. So just on that note, God rest his soul now to Dean Arrowsmith in Chicago. It's news to everyone on that. I'm sure everyone at the Irish transplant team will set up a GoFundMe for his family, and we'll get repatriated back home. So look, I don't know what's even been covered at the very start. So like, are we still talking about this game, or are we done on this game and we talk about Drogheda match then?
I think Donal covered it all off, to be honest with you.
We'll move swiftly on. So Steph, like with the gaps, like what are you expecting? Like what changes are you, do you think, like, is, I like Jamie Walker was doing a fair bit of warming up as well. Could we see Walker come back in?
It's probably for me not the best game to bring him in. I actually don't know what would be the best game to bring him in, but maybe not the Louth derby. It wouldn't be the best time to put him in the firing line again. He sort of had a rough start to his life at all. The one performer who you probably thought on the opening day that didn't really perform was Walker, for me anyway. And then it didn't really go too well after that. But look, it didn't go well for the team either. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Feel the team's in a different trajectory now, and it'd be hard for him to come in and kind of get up to that pace, you think? Or
it's a tough one for me. I don't know. From what I've seen, I probably wouldn't be putting him in there. I'm not sure what the solution is. Maybe Mountney, but then you're sort of taking away that dynamic that seemed to have been created between yourself and Davies. So look, it'll be a tough one. There's a short turnaround, which doesn't lend a tan to, you know, the little bits of niggles we picked up tonight. Hopefully they're nothing too serious.
I think Scott High was just taken off as a precaution.
I presume that was just...
seemed more tactical, that one, though, was it?
Probably did seem more tactical. You're hoping you don't pick up too many injuries, because like you don't have the couple of days extra rest on it. It's just straight back into Monday. So the Bradshaw one's going to be a big miss. You know,
we start to have that settled back line, didn't we, Donal? Like that's you could nearly pick it. I don't know about you, Steph, but I only had one. Didn't have Oosterbrink in at number six in the pick a lineup tonight. Yeah. But Donal, probably the run of like what's that, five consecutive clean sheets now at home. This is, you know, it's probably mostly down to having a settled back line and keeper and everything. Like that's where you build everything from. So now we're going to have to change that.
Yeah, and you'd hope it's just because things have gone so well that it's not, it doesn't get shuffled too much. I know it has to get shuffled, but hopefully the confidence that's been built between, say, the two centre-backs and the goalkeeper is still there after, you know, a change. So hopefully hopefully they don't lose confidence in what they've done up to this point. Because I think that was one of the things I worried about tonight, was if they did go behind, would they still have the belief? I know that they didn't go behind last week, but in front last week and they rode the momentum in for the rest of the game. But just what will happen if they get a bit of a
because it seemed okay at Sligo, wasn't it? Sligo, we went behind early and we looked rattled for 10 minutes after that, but then we kind of settled back into it again.
I think
we're losing Donal now, are we?
Yeah.
What's with everyone tonight?
I passed it on to him. So, yeah, but before we just continue on, just shout out to all the Flano and all the Della first years over in Manchester for the weekend. Ross is over there with them. So
over for another match, are they?
He might. Yeah, they're going over to City v Wolves. So he had me up at 5 o'clock this morning, dropping him to the school. So, hopefully they have a good weekend. I'd say Flano's just on here to try and nail me. So I have to watch yours. But yeah, look, it's
we'd Hayden Muller obviously come on today. Would they chant, like we've seen Hayden Muller play left back before for us? Could that be a solution on a pitch that he knows, and you know, he at least he knows what to expect in Weavers Park on Monday. So could that be an option?
Yeah, I think he'd he's definitely one that could be an option. The fact that he brought him on today, obviously he's brought him into centre mid, but he seems like he's versatile anyway, and it's not like he's going in, you know, totally out of the wilderness. He's played left back this season already, so a couple of times I definitely have him in ahead of Walker for sure, for me anyway.
I always forget about Louis Ansley.
Big Louis,
he's left sided.
He's left. He never really plays left full, does he? Look, I don't think they'll change formation and go three at the back and go with wing backs, but you just don't know.
Don't lay your back to us.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Sounding good.
But I'm here, so you know.
aren't we all? We're here for Pingu. Like, when we watch, every time we watch a game, it seems like a tight pitch in Weavers Park. And Steph, look, you've probably played there before. Like, is it tight, or is it just the way that Weavers Park is set up that it looks tight because people are on top of the pitch on it?
It is tight, yeah. Sometimes, you know, when you're going down the line, you have to go around some of the supporters at times. It seems like, but yeah, the wall's right there. Like, you know, it can be a defender's dream when you see the winger just running past you and you can get a wee nudge into the wall.
Send him straight into the Lourdes.
I don't condone that now, but I might have been guilty of it once or twice. But yeah, like it's like the Old Trafford Hill sort of thing, you know. Use the advantage if you can. But yeah, it's tight, and there's always, anytime you go up there, it's always a great atmosphere, and you know, it might be a bit unusual on the Monday, but it's a loud hobby, and we picked up points in the last couple of games we've played, so like, why shouldn't we go down there and look for a result? And then look, the carrot dangling over the head is the, you know, you can leapfrog them. If you beat them, beat them in their own patch, leapfrog them after us having the worst start since 1903 or whatever the hell it was. We could have turned it around in a matter of games. So, yeah, like, you shouldn't really have to motivate the players to get up for this game. They should be well at it. And you just hope with the few players that's out or suspended or whatever, the rest of the squad can step up then.
Yeah, don't look, I know you always have this gripe on kickoff times. I remember during lockdown, the early kickoff used to annoy you. How does 1 o'clock come to you then on a bank holiday Monday?
I was talking about Duffer saying silly things. I don't want to start saying that Jurgen Klopp says silly things about lunchtime kickoffs, but I also don't want to sound like him, be like, why are we doing this? Why is the game on at 1 o'clock? Why? I get that there's security reasons or whatever, but Jesus Christ, it's too early. It's too early. Kind of an atmosphere. You can't have a good atmosphere at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just not, like, not conducive to an atmosphere.
That's whiskey o'clock.
I've ever recalled. Yeah, how am I supposed to do this after a game at 1 o'clock? It's ridiculous.
3 o'clock.
It's when you're driving around the retail park after it, we've got the problem.
Yes, you still have to go and do errands after a game of football. That's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be.
No. But look, Donald, I suppose the big thing is, you know, Steph just mentioned it. Yeah, Noel King brought it up in his post-match interview as well. The incentive has been to, I suppose, get close and start reeling in the teams above us. This is really tangible. They're 2 points ahead of us. Drop points tonight. We picked up one. A win leapfrogs us over them. Like, that has to be massive motivation, considering for a while we thought we were quite cut off from the rest of the league. But this could, you know, leapfrog us into start aiming at the next person on the way up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're looking at Sligo ahead of them, and it's, if we can get past Drogheda on Monday, then you're like within touching distance of Sligo ahead of them, and their results haven't been great either. So it's a, you know, it's a big game. The only thing I'd be worried about is just not wanting to lose. You know, like it's still early, you know.
But this, when we've come from so far behind, like, you know, we talked about how the first few rounds of games, you know, we couldn't really score. We were the cannon fodder for the league for 2-3 matches, and we were getting very worried. We turned that around. You're now trying to reel in these teams above you. Like, this is one to get off the bottom of the league, but two to do it against your local rivals, and three to do it in their backyard. Like, that's like, that should be it.
Yeah, it should be the only thing that they're thinking about. But I do, anytime there's one of these, it's like a top of the table clash or a bottom of the table clash, there's the element of like, what if I lose to them? It's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's really the 6-pointer, though. Yeah.
I'm trying not to say the 6-pointer, but it is. But yeah, it's like you want the team just to be fearless and go and try and win the game, because they're good enough to go and win there. So that's what we want them to do. I shouldn't be worried about them thinking that they'll take a draw and move on to the next game. So look, we're just going to go and win at whatever park it was that
what the mark called it. Yeah.
teenage win, Ninja Turtle.
Steph, like Louth derbies, they tend to be, in particular in Drogheda, tight enough affairs. Like, we've seen them win by the odd goal here and there. Is this a game for the cool heads? Like, we've seen probably this run for ourselves is built on more established players in our squads. I don't want to say the old guard, but it nearly is, like the tried and tested players for Dundalk for years. And that seems to have really changed the perception of how we play and the way we're playing. And we've become a lot more robust. But, you know, there's a few wily heads in that Drogheda team too. Like, are we looking at another tight affair? Are we looking at, you know, a couple of potential cards here? What sort of a match do you think it could be?
I think there'll be more cards than goals anyway. I can't imagine it being anything other than fiery. It'll probably be a bit cagey as well. The two teams know what it's early in the season. It's still early enough in the season, but at the same time, you don't want to get caught adrift at the bottom, or like, it's probably playing on their minds that, like, you know, we were so far behind them, and we've closed it right up now to be in with the shot of jumping them over. So, like, I'm sure it's on there's nothing worse than somebody chasing you down like that. So hopefully they are feeling the pressure. If we can try and silence the crowd early, if we could manage to get an early goal, do you know, that really,
yeah,
the way we've been keeping clean sheets and stuff like that, I just fill you with so much confidence. So I can't see us going down there and fearing them. We should be right up for that game, and hopefully we get the right result.
Steph, you were on about the quality of the league earlier, like that it's taken a dip. When you think back to like years and years ago in the league, it was a lot of the games were won just on set pieces, that it was just a free kick or a corner, and you know, that's how you'd win a game 1-0 or 2-0. And the one thing that we're still not, I guess, we can improve on it and all, but we haven't been great for corners and set pieces and stuff like that. So I think the easiest thing to focus on, if, you know, say the quality isn't there, is to be solid and to not give space and to be, it, you know, defensively minded. And I think in games where it's, you know, ourselves against a fellow struggling team, set pieces is going to be what in my mind is going to be what will win the game. Like, I can't see us creating many chances, I can't see them creating many chances, but we'd have to be better at corners and free kicks to win it.
Definitely. One of my old coaches, Paddy Riley, like, he used to always say, like, if you're playing a game and there's like a vast quality difference between set pieces, probably won't really come into effect. But if you're playing a game against a team that's, you're like within 5% of each other or so, like, the set pieces are massive. It just can swing a game. So, like, yeah, we haven't really shown any quality from that. You'd like to think, you know, that the longer the season goes on, we'll start to get some joy out of them. Like, look, I think Steve and Kenny sort of, you know, put pride in his set pieces and many goals that we scored from, like, the boys coming off. Like, Andy Boyle used to not
pop it through people just to get a header, didn't he? Yeah.
Like, and he used to set up blocks and different things like that, which possibly might be outlawed now, but just little bits of, like, just, it looks like you've walked on something.
Is he saying I'm drunk? Is that what we're pointing at?
I think so.
I think he's saying he's Jadon Sancho and he wants to go for a pint with you. Or a bottle of whiskey at some stage.
sounds good. So then,
once we're invited.
Exactly, yeah. So then Donald, does it, like, if we're talking about set pieces becoming so important and that, does that kind of put the maybe Daryl Horgan versus Darren Markey kind of head to head then?
Well, that's if Daryl takes all of them, because didn't Archie take some of them?
Could have.
Some of the corners.
We seem to have like about three different corner routines and none really worked out.
I'm just
I think even that is like, because we've played a few short that like Daryl will play to Benson and he'll put the ball in. Like, even the, we seem to have a couple of different setups of like either being right in on top of the goalkeeper or having the three players line up. So we've got a couple of things that we've obviously worked on. It's just, we need to just get more production from them. But we have to defend them as well as we've been defending them. Like, we have to keep that up because Drogheda will obviously be thinking the same thing. But they'll have opportunities from set pieces. So, I mean, and hopefully it's going to be a better game than just free kicks, yellow cards, and
one goal. And
chance for corner. Yeah, one goal. Although, obviously, if it's a one goal from us, we'll take it. But you'd hope it'll be a better game than that, but it's going to be tough, I guess, for both teams.
Steph, if we're talking about momentum, we're thinking, you know, although Drogheda won last Friday, they've gone a heavy defeat on the Monday in Tala and then another defeat again tonight. Like, is there more pressure on them coming into this?
Yeah, you probably think so. It's always better to be hunting down somebody than looking over your shoulder in this instance when you're down the bottom. I think all about momentum. Momentum's massive, and you just take our last couple of games and the points we've picked up. It's surely in our favour the way it's been going.
That was the setup, Steph, to give a proper Duff, Damien Duff answer. They're like, of course pressure's on them. They're above us. They should be winning this game. We should barely even turn up. Of course they're going to win.
We're the minnows from there.
Yeah.
we're the small club.
We wrap up here, we should be looking at a man of the match competition. So I suppose, look, everybody, we'll start looking back through everything just to have an idea of who to pick. But if anyone wants to get their picks in now for man of the match, please do so. Donal, I'll come to you first.
It's a tough one. I mean,
did anyone even jump out?
Yeah, well, and I'm glad he was saying it earlier on about giving pizzas to people who have picked defenders, but like, you could pick any of the back four. Like, either of the Zachs were excellent. Andy Boyle, I guess, hasn't gotten enough, or like, to me anyway, hasn't gotten enough credit for the last few games. He's been really, really solid after having, again, he had a couple of rough games at the start of the season. So I think Steph mentioned him, but I'll say Archie Davis, man of the match for me tonight. I think we might just sort of take for granted what he does and how good he is. I thought he was dangerous going forward, and he was very, very good defensively. So I'll pick Archie as my man of the match tonight.
Steph, I think probably the majority of the picks from people have been defenders again. You can probably pick anywhere across the back line. Archie Davis there. I suppose John Mountney's actually got a nod for one or two. I think in Oriel Park, they gave it to Zach Bradshaw, did they? Or was it Zach Johnson?
I think it had Zach Bradshaw, but I'm not sure on that. I'd probably just piggyback off what Donald said. Jarvis has probably been their most dangerous attacker this season. And, you know, I think Davis done a great job on him. And like Donald said, he added to going forward. I think he consistently performed well. Like he's been very good that, like, when he drops a little bit below that, then you're sort of not questioning him, but you're like, you just sort of expect him to put in a quality performance every week, which he has been doing an awful lot. So, I think the Zachs, as Gally called them earlier, or one of them called them the Zachs.
The Zach attack.
And then Boilers be good as well. Like, look, if you keep clean sheets, keeping clean sheets, you know, you're always going to, the defenders are going to come up trumps, especially when we don't score. So, yeah, it'd be hard to give it to anybody else. Like, I know Mentley's created a couple of chances in the first half. But, yeah, Davies just for me as well, I think. The right back union.
Yeah, what's going on here? I think if it doesn't even matter who I pick because I've just been outnumbered anyway. So, We might as well go and have a look. So yeah, look, there's a fair few in.
You're gonna have to give us a man the match anyway. Like, you can't just be sidestepping.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
You asked me a difficult question. You have to answer the difficult question too.
Yeah, I think Zach Johnson had a pretty solid match. Back, I think the more you see him play, I think the more confident he becomes. But the other Zach probably nudged it for me in the fact that I think I never pictured him as a left back at any stage until he started playing there. Now he looks so natural in it. He's starting to push on forward a little bit more. Some great carries as well now. You know, he's got that confidence about him to run on. So I think it's important that, you know, in the modern game, I think any of the wing backs, you're as important going forward as you are going back. And I think he's starting to add a little bit more to us in that department. So I actually thought for me, it would have been Zach Bradshaw, for sure. Like, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Still nice to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Thanks. The difficult questions have been answered. Let's have a look. So first one I'm going to see for Archie. Boom. One off. Hubby McEnany. There we go. So if you want to get in contact with ourselves or we can let Tony's Pizzeria let you know that there is a 15-inch pizza there for you. So the fact he was a class act as well, I'll take that in the comments for it. But yeah, I'd say probably even enough between Davis and Bradshaw tonight. So it probably sells more about the game and how it went tonight that we're looking at them. But although I don't think it was the defensive masterclass that we've seen in previous matches as well. I think that's nearly us, lads, is it? Unless we've anything else.
I was just going to say, I knocked a few points off Bradshaw when Farrell came on. I thought Farrell looked dangerous when he came on against them, so I think that's why I knocked a few defensive places off.
Which is fair. I suppose it's something we'll put some time aside another night maybe to go into it a little bit more. But you know, we've seen the club organizing golf classic at the moment. So like these are fundraising initiatives that we've been asking for and wanting for a long time. I David Caldwell also asked me, just send me a message here to make sure I mentioned the club lotto as well, because obviously all the funding for the lotto is going back into the redevelopment fund for Oriel Park. So look, if you can get involved in that, please do. I think they're up to nearly 12.5 grand on that as well. I've just picked that number. If that is totally wrong, oh my God. Did I see that? It isn't. It is 12,300. That was pretty close. Wow. Oh. Imagine I got that wrong. I'm not going to throw it in, but I'll pay an installment if someone wins. Imagine someone did now. Oh my God.
I've got to pay. Like, you just talked yourself into this. No one's made you do this. I'm like, yeah, I'll pay it off.
I got annoyed over the Zach Bradshaw thing that it didn't even matter, even though I was picking. I'm just getting airtime at the moment. Look, I think these things are, you know, important initiatives for the club. As you lads know, you know, I've had a few callers to the door this week, and I think my door is now on the mark list for anyone canvassing around, because I've pigeonholed them and demanded to know their I've got three locked in the basement right now until they tell me their plans for Oriel Park. So I'm not releasing them until they come up with it or formulate a plan. But this is the chance, for everyone to have their stake and to get local government more involved in Oriel Park and to kick on for some sort of redevelopment. Like, these are all, these are key issues. Remember, these local representatives that we pick and we choose, they're representing us here, but they're also talking to their colleagues in national government. And if that's how we're going to get change, this is, you know, people need to know how important it is that we kick on and we get into massive infrastructure, massive funding for projects for Oriel Park. And how we do that is by chatting and lobbying with these local councillors to make sure that they have and they know how important it is that the redevelopment of Oriel Park is to Dundalk. And I don't kidnap them like I've done, but it's a way. If it works for you, please do.
There's been some revelations tonight between the three canvassers locked in Chris's basement and hoping Pingu passes away.
Before I hang myself anymore, unless we've anything else pressing, we'll be back on again for the I feel like I've said too much tonight. We'll be back on again after the Loud Derby. I'm in Bray straight after, so that'll be fun. So please send me down to Bray, down to the seaside with a win, and then I can have an ice cream and everything will be good. But until then, I suppose, come on the turn.